Today is the beginning of the new year. We celebrate many things today. There are many traditions associated with today. But first, let's talk about the epistle and the gospel. In the gospel, we heard about the circumcision of Jesus. This is the feast day called the circumcision of Jesus. We also heard in the epistle, St. Paul said, all of you have been circumcised in a circumcision not made with hands. How? In your baptism into Christ, in which you were also raised with Him. In your baptism into Christ, in which you were also raised with Him. We've talked about this a number of times before. Hopefully you're starting to hear this over and over in the epistles and the gospels, this understanding of the early church, that the problem that all of mankind faces is sin, and that which comes from it, death. Death. The Christian faith, the gospel that we preach, is the answer that all of humanity is seeking. God created man and woman and put them in the Garden of Eden to dwell with them forever, like a loving father with his family. It even says there in the book of Genesis that man was made in the image and likeness of God. Now, you look in the mirror and you're going to see the image and likeness of your parents. So the author of the book of Genesis is trying to show us the special relationship that God has not only with all of creation, but especially one particular type of creature, and that is called mankind. All of creation, the hummingbirds, the flowers, the lambs in the field, all of that was created by God, the beautiful trees. But among all of creation, there was only one creature that was said to be made in the image and likeness of God. Now, we know what happened in the garden, unfortunately. Due to our sin, that is a turning away from God. Now remember, sin is not the breaking of a rule. A lot of times we talk about sin as the breaking of a rule. And then the breaking of the rule makes God angry, and then we're in trouble, and then the punishment is death. A lot of theologians talk like that. But that is not what the Bible says. This is not the teachings of the Christian faith. The faith is that God created man and his own children. And sin is the breaking of a relationship, not the breaking of a rule. It's turning away from our source of life. It's turning away from our Heavenly Father. How many times did you do that as a child with your parents? How many of those who are parents have had your child do that? They turn away from you and they say, no, I'm not going to do that. And you're hurt. You're stunned by your child. What is this? Don't you understand I'm trying to help you? Well, this is much more serious when we're talking about our Heavenly Father, who is the source of our life. He is the source of our life. And so when we turn away from Him, when we reach for that fruit in the garden and say, this will give me joy. And in the end, all sin is the same. We turn to something in our life and the world around us, and we know that it is not good for us because God has said this is not good for us. And we turn to it being tricked by the devil and our own foolishness. And we reach out for that fruit like Adam did in the garden over and over again. And what do we find? Something that does not bring joy. We find our relationship with God has been broken. And so we repent. This is what baptism is all about. Because as you know, man was cast out of the garden as a result of what happened. He had turned away from his source of life, and what did he find? Death. As St. Paul says in his epistle to the Colossians, you have been circumcised. You have been brought into the covenant of God in a new covenant, not like the old. This one you are brought in through baptism. Baptism brings you into the covenant of Christ. You become one with Jesus Christ in baptism. And if you are one with Christ, you are reunited with your Heavenly Father. Because as St. Paul says, Jesus is the God-man. He is the one mediator between God and man. He is the Garden of Eden replanted. And when you are in Christ, you are back in a relationship with your Heavenly Father. And what do you find there? You find life. Sin brings death. Repentance brings life. And this is the good news. That all of you have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ, St. Paul says. You have been buried with Him. You have been raised with Him to newness of life. And now we only await the second coming of Christ. When as He promised, He would come and raise us from the dead. We say it every day in the Creed. Every Sunday we say, we believe in one baptism for the forgiveness of sin. Which of course means therefore you have life. And the resurrection from the dead, we say. And the life of the world to come. What is that life of the world to come? You're going to have your body back. Your father, your mother, your sister, your grandmother, whoever has died in your life. You will see them again. They will be raised from the dead. And hopefully to a judgment of joy. Hopefully we will hear from our Heavenly Father, come back into the Garden of Eden. I've replanted it for you. And now let's continue the plan. Because that was God's original plan, for man to live in the Garden of Eden with God for all eternity. And God's plan will not be thwarted. God's plan will not be thwarted. Now, I mentioned that also today, this is a reminder, make sure you turn off your cell phones when you come in. This is also today is the first day of the new year. In fact, I've noticed a few people are missing today. I noticed the freeways were empty on the way here. Normally when I turn off the 85 onto the 17, it's backed up, right? You were coming from Fremont. Sometimes you're backed up coming. I fortunately only have one exit. I get off. But you're coming from Fremont. Sometimes it takes you a while. I got onto the 17. It was empty. It's like a landing strip. Where are the cars? Couldn't figure it out. And then I was reminded when I came here by someone that last night everyone was up, and this morning they're all sleeping, right? Even apparently some of our parishioners. Some are out of town as well. Now, the new year. This is the new year. Has anyone made a new year's resolution? Anyone? A few, I see, okay. Now, what I want to encourage you to do is to make a New Year's resolution. You maybe hear someone says, I don't do those because they never work. Well, of course they never work if you're trying to do it by yourself. You can only do these things by the power of God. And I want to encourage you to make three New Year's resolutions. Three for the Holy Trinity. Three New Year's resolutions today. By next Sunday, I want you to have it all figured out. God is triune. He is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And He made man in His own image and likeness. We are body, mind, and spirit. We are body, mind, and spirit. And there's a beautiful parallelism with the Trinity and our own Trinitarian structure. We have a mind, right? We have a psyche. We have a spirit. And we have a body. And these three things need to work in conjunction with each other. You can try to get your spirit all, you know, polished up and in relationship with God. But if your body is not healthy and your psyche is not healthy, it's not going to work. And I could say this about each one of the three parts of your existence. And so I'm going to encourage you today to make three New Year's resolutions. Three? I tried one last year and it didn't work. You want me to do three? Yeah, because I want you to do three and I want you to reach out to the hand of God and allow Him to help you fulfill them. Now, what is that New Year's resolution that, or three of them? It's all really one. Typically, we make New Year's resolutions to improve ourselves in some way, right? But I want you to improve yourself. I'm going to try to improve myself. We should all try to improve ourselves this year, but in a tripartite way. I want you to think of something you can do each day to better your health. To better your health. Maybe it's eating one less stick of butter. Okay? A week or a day. Yeah. Maybe it's going out for a little walk every morning or every evening. Just a little one. Something small. Okay? Pick out something in your health, in your bodily world, what you're eating or how you're exercising or not exercising, and make a slight improvement there. Okay? Not something too big because you'll fail. Okay, don't try and go out and start running a marathon every morning and just eating broccoli. Okay, it's not going to work. You'll last about 2 days, if that. So pick out something small, either something you are eating that you know is not so good for you. You probably ought to cut back on it or maybe eliminate it altogether. Get rid of that or eat less of it. Or maybe it's the exercise. Maybe you could go out, like I said, for a walk, a little walk. Just a little walk around the block. Something small, okay? Now, that's one thing. And each of us will have a different, you know, need in that department. Maybe some of you are regular walkers, or maybe some of you only eat broccoli all day long, okay? So everyone's gonna be a little different in how they're gonna figure this out. Second, your intellect, your psyche. Your mind, body, and spirit. I want you to pick out some way in your life in which you can improve your knowledge of the faith. Something small. Maybe it's picking up a book. When was the last time you read a book about the faith? It might have been last week. It might have been 3 years ago. Or maybe since you were a kid. Pick out some little book. There are lots of them on the bookshelf in the hall. Okay, lots of them there, and they're cheap. There's some of them are $1, $2. The book of the bishop's writings, very nice to read. Something, whatever the case may be. Pick out something that is going to move you up a notch intellectually about the faith. Maybe it's reading books of the Bible. Whatever it is, something that's going to improve your knowledge about the faith. Something small. Don't try to do too much. A little bit. And then three, the spirit, your spiritual life. I want to encourage you to, in some way, improve your spiritual life through prayer. Prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. We talk a lot about that. But you cannot give alms and fast without prayer. Prayer is the heart of it all. So, I want you to do this. In the hall, if you didn't already take one, there were the little kumbuskini, the chadkis, or how do we say it in Arabic? How do you say it in Arabic? The prayer rope. You know the little prayer rope? I don't know how to say it in Arabic.
The green bowl.
Tisbia.
What is it?
Tisbia.
The little prayer rope, okay? And you put that in your pocket. There are some there in the hall. There are little small ones. There are bigger ones. There's some you could put as a bracelet. Whatever the case may be. And what I want you to do is keep that in your pocket. All year. And what's going to happen is in the morning when you, or at night when you dump your pockets out Oh, what's that? Oh, that's right. And you see that, and you say, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, the sinner. Maybe during the weekday when you're reaching your pocket for your keys, what's that stuck on my pinky? Ah, it's my prayer rope. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, the sinner. Whenever you see this little ring of beads, remember to pray. Just start with something like that. Now you might say, I'm already doing that daily. I pray the Jesus prayer regularly. Good. So maybe do something more. There are beautiful little prayer cards and little booklets that are in the hall as well. If you have any questions about those, ask me during the coffee social. We'll go in there. I'll show you a few of those. Mind, body, and spirit. Mind, body, and spirit. And if you try to improve all three of these aspects of your life, you'll find you'll be much more successful than trying to work on just one of them. A lot of times we say, I'm going to start praying more. I'm tired though. Right? The body. I want to pray, but I'm not really sure what I should say. Right? The mind. I want to go exercise, but I just don't. So the mind, body, and spirit. Mind, body, and spirit. Try to figure out this week three small things you can do to improve those three aspects of your life, and those three will add up to something big. Okay? That is what I want you to work on. I'm going to work on it too. And next Sunday, I'm going to mention to you again, I'm going to hope that you're going to have those three nailed down, and you'll already start it by next Sunday. Okay? And then we'll work on it throughout the year. What happens if you forget? What happens if you fail 2-3 weeks from now? What happens if a month from now you get tired and you stop walking every afternoon or something? What do?
Rest.
And you rest. And then you get up and you do it again. Right? You just get up and do it again. What happens when we fail in life? Realize that we're failures. Right? We're human beings. We make mistakes. Like a child, God looks upon us like a loving father. And when we trip and stumble, what do you think he does? Watch it. Why did you fall? No, he comes. He says, come here, let me help you up. Brushes you off. Says, now, go again. You can walk. Try it. Okay? So I want you to think about that. What throughout the year, as you're trying to do these things, you may kind of get tired of one or forget something. Or you go for a couple of weeks, I forgot to. Well, that's your moment. Start up again. And through this year of 2017, improving our mind, body, and spirit, may Jesus Christ be glorified with His Heavenly Father and His all-holy and life-giving Spirit, both now and ever into ages of ages. Amen.